Sure am.
All right. Tonight, folks, we have Elsie with us. Elsie is from the website www.angelsghost.com. That's www.angelsghost.com. And he's going to speak with us on the subject of ghosts in the Bible and much more. All right, Elsie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, maybe I should start with when I was a kid, I always had an interest in ghosts and Halloween and the spookies, so to speak. And as I got older, I got involved in the church. And I know we had discussed a little bit of my background. And then that later turned into trying to bring that element into the idea of angels and ghosts. And the website was born in 2004 with a basic mission. The mission of Angels and Ghosts was to be a free site and to basically just allow people to consider the possibility that spirit might exist, that there might be more than the physical body to life. And that's it. That's the summed up story.
All right. For those of you in chat, I will be pasting links to Elsie's site so that you can go and you can look at them, and they can hear us great, so that's really great. So what was it in specific that made you decide to start writing about this?
About 10 years ago, I went through a number of spiritual experiences within a church. In fact, I was like anybody else. I would go to church on just on Sundays, and but I really had an interest to try to figure things out. And I started studying the Bible, and I eventually became a Sunday school teacher. And things went further and progressed, and I ended up preaching, and eventually became the elder. In fact, the head elder of a Christian church, which is similar to Baptists in doctrine. What had happened, though, I had an experience, a very spiritual experience. My heart was just to try to find out the truth. And I thought by jumping in the Bible, I'd find all the answers. Well, what had happened is I had about a week in my life where I had a very strong presence come upon me. And at that time in my life, I had attributed it to being God. But what it did was it really woke me up to the tangible presence of spirit. And, you know, we saw many things happen at that church. I later brought charismatic Christianity into that church because I felt led to do that. And I don't know, are you familiar with charismatics, Gab?
Oh, I certainly am. My father's side of the family is that. I still have aunts who are that way. My sister belongs to, I think it is Assemblies of God, maybe it's Church of God. I forget, I just went to their cantata. But yeah, I was on Sundays, I used to go to a holiness church when I was growing up with my family, and then on Wednesday nights, I always went to youth to a Baptist church, so I'm real familiar with both of those.
Well, what had happened, to explain to your audience, I felt led to pray for people, and I started praying for people that were sick at the church, and they would comment how they felt like an electric shock when I prayed for him. And this was during that time when I had that spiritual presence that had come upon me. Sounds crazy. Well, I just kept experimenting with it and, you know, praying for others, and they would feel it. And they had that presence on them. Now, in what I would call charismatic Christianity or Pentecostalism, that's known, that's taught as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is what they teach that as. But what it did was it really drove me, and the reason I'm telling you all this, it drove me to, again, be aware of the presence of Spirit, a tangible spiritual presence, and I realized that the truth was found within, that the voice of the Spirit is what speaks to all of us. And it really led me down a path of just trying to follow what I was hearing within me.
Mm-hmm.
What it transpired later is, as I followed that, it led me out of that church. And I just listened to what I heard inside. And a lot of what you see on the website are things that I've been hearing within me for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And
let's talk about that. That's really hard, because I know that I taught youth for years, and it's hard, because when you pull out like that, it's like you lose a family, isn't it?
Oh, yes. People that, you know, your life was really, coupled together with. And, you know, I left on good terms. But they, you know, eventually, you know, you become the person, because you're not going to that church that everybody needs to pray for, and he's lost, and that type of thing. So
mm-hmm.
It just became a time for me to really seek answers from the Spirit and within, and follow that voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at that time, a few years later, I had written a number of articles. I can remember going on vacation, Gabrielle, and just writing articles. And I didn't know what it was that they were for, but I knew I was to write the articles. These were the things that had been shown me within scriptures. And it's more than just ghosts. I mean, there's a lot of topics and things. I thought maybe it was for a book. But then somebody was brought in my life, actually right before 2004, in 2003, that showed me how to build a website.
Mm-hmm.
And Angels and Ghosts Then was launched in 2004, and I knew that that's what it was all for.
Now, you have one of the best websites as far as information on the web goes. You know, you featured some of my pictures. You featured some of Julia Dare's pictures from www.ncparanormal.com. There's her plug for the night. And
mm-hmm.
We love your site, and your website, for those that might want to look at this moment, is www.angelsghosts.com. That's www.angelsghosts.com. Now, I'm on the page where you are writing about ghosts in the Bible, and I'm looking at some of the scripture. You quote Mark 16:12, two of them, as they are going into the field walking, he manifested in another form. So you believe that is what, LC?
Boy, you're hitting me heavy right up front, aren't you? Well, I think we'd have to probably back up with that passage. The only reason I say that, Jesus had manifested to a number of people.
That's true. We can go to Luke 24:34, where he appeared to Mary Magdalene.
Well, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to Simon. He appeared to, we're told, to the 11. You know, that passage in 24:39 of Luke. You know, the disciples were talking after Jesus' death, and as they spoke, Jesus stood in the midst of them, the passage says. I don't know about you, but, you know, if I'm having a conversation with somebody and somebody appears in the midst of that, I'm going to be freaked out. Wouldn't you be freaked out?
Well, I'm the wrong person to ask.
Not now, right? I would be a little bit, discomforted, you know.
Uh-huh.
Most people probably would.
The average Joe would be, uh-huh.
But Jesus calms him down, and he says, a spirit does not have flesh or bones as you see I have. And And I think that's an important passage to bring into light, because he does not discount ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
He says that a spirit does not have flesh or bones. To me, he's confirming that ghosts do exist. Now, the reason I'm bringing that topic up is, if you go back to what we were talking about earlier with the church, church doctrine does not allow, typically, for the existence of ghosts. You know that, is that right?
That's correct.
And the reason for that...
And they'll always tell you, absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Yeah, exactly. If you're Christian, if not, then you're in hell. An eternal hell is the basic Christian doctrine.
Ah, but you can't go to hell if you haven't went before the great white throne of judgment, if you believe that doctrine.
Yeah, there's definitely different variations of it, but they say you cannot come back. You're either in heaven or hell, or, you know, someplace. Purgatory would be another belief.
Purgatory was like the Catholics' PayPal fund. It was set up as a donation basis to keep people that were really bad from going to too bad of a place. But go ahead.
Well, I just think that's important to note, because, you know, when a Christian will say that ghosts cannot exist because they need to come back to some of these passages like this, where Jesus is simply saying a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. He doesn't say a spirit does not exist, and I can show you that elsewhere too. Now let's carry that into your thought about him appearing in another form. Well, again, with Jesus appearing after the resurrection, he appears to two, and he's conversing with them, and they don't recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
My problem with that passage is, how can I spend three and a half years with a person daily, and then, you know, a few days later, I don't recognize him? I mean, is that even possible in your mind?
No.
And it says in that passage that Jesus appeared in a different form. And that's what your question to me was. What do I think was going on? I don't think he looked the same. I think they recognized him by the wisdom that he began speaking to them. That's my opinion. My opinion is that could be a place of reincarnation. That's right in the Bible.
That could be. I've heard people argue that was an astral vision. It was him in an astral body in the astral form. But from what I've seen in astral travel, and everybody I know that practices it, and from my experiences in it, we look the same in astral travel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got stuck outside of my body. I don't practice astral travel purposely, but I've, you know, woke up and been outside of my body and had an NDE, and I looked the same. So maybe a little better, but you know what I mean. So yeah, that's an interesting theory. That's one I had not thought of, and so I'm going to ponder that.
Well, it's not a popular one, and so I wouldn't even probably have brought it up.
This is a good time to mention that. Please send all hate mail to Darla, D-A-R-L-A, at easternparanormal.com. That's Darla at easternparanormal.com. Go ahead, Elsie.
Well, I think we should back up. Before we cover a few other verses, I think we need to back up and look at, you know, heaven and hell again, because the church teaching that you're in either or makes a lot of people afraid to even believe in ghosts. I was at a party with all my family, my relatives, Thanksgiving evening, and we were talking about ghosts, and my aunt comes up to me, my one aunt, and she says, you know, I've had some really weird things happen, cupboards latching. I know that I lived in a place that was haunted. And then I had another aunt saying, I don't believe in ghosts. And I said, pulled her aside later, and I said, why don't you believe in ghosts? I knew why. it was because what she was taught at church. I think understanding, in one of the pages of the website, it's the one that's Spirit World.
Mm-hmm. I'll flip over that right now.
I think it's important to understand what hell and heaven is, and I'm going to give you LC's take on it, okay? Because, again, church...
Okay, let me stop you right there. This
okay.
is where I've got to get Todd to record me in an official voice. The opinions of our guest may or may not be the opinions of Gabrielle or Eastern Paranormal. All right, go ahead.
I told you I'm trouble. The traditional teaching by the church of heaven and hell is that it is a place either up or down. In any case, it's a place elsewhere than right here, okay, on the physical earth. You know, I had a friend that came over one time, a Jewish lady, and I thought, I've got to ask her some questions. I said, what are the teachings? I mean, what's the Jewish teaching on hell? And she said to me, she goes, we believe hell is right here on earth.
They sure do.
I thought, wow, isn't that a revelation? So I, you know, started going in, digging into heaven and hell and eternal damnation and all that in the scriptures. And what does that mean? Well, when you look at the words translated as hell, the word for hell, or translated hell, is the word Sheol in the Old Testament or Hades in the New Testament. There's also Gehenna in the New Testament. Hades and Sheol, translated hell, is improperly translated. That word, those words simply mean the grave. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The word translated hell in other places in the New Testament is the word Gehenna. And Gehenna was a trash dump, a dump yard outside of Jerusalem. So it was just used as an example.
Well, what about, I can't remember the exact scripture, but what about the man who dies, the rich man, he goes to hell and he's begging just to go back and tell people about it. And, you know, he's thirsting for water. He's watching everybody in heaven hoop it up. And they tell him, no, he can't.
Well, you're talking about Lazarus and the rich man, the parable.
Mm-hmm.
That parable is just that. Jesus said, when I teach, I teach in parables. He said, I teach in parables so that those who have an ear can hear what the Spirit's saying. A parable teaches a spiritual truth through a story, okay? And that's what Lazarus and the rich man is, in my opinion. Lazarus, he was at the gate full of sores, and he was desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And it talks about the dogs came and licked his wounds. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cries and he says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham says, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf that's fixed, so that they that would pass from here to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from there. What this is first talking about is this is first a parable to the people that were deriding Jesus. He was speaking to the religious leaders who were railing on him. It's like two verses before that. It says that they were deriding him. And so he's given this parable to show them that the beggar is the common person of that day. The rich man were are the religious leaders. And this is really what this is about. They were putting things down on the people, religious weights, you know, do's, do nots, commandments, and things like this, condemning the people and living sumptuously themselves while the people were suffering through the condemnation and things that they were bringing upon them. What happens, I believe, and I'm getting back to that Spirit World article, is that when we die, near-death experiences have plainly taught us that the typical common denominator is a tunnel of light, a life review, some would call this the judgment, and then what I believe happens is they're either in a place of peace, love, and joy, or they gravitate to a place of darkness. Not all are that, but most of them fit those, you know, that common denominator.
All right, that's very interesting, but let me ask you one question. If you've been to my website, and I know you have, you know that I've written a good bit on demonology from the Kabbalistic standpoint. Where do you believe demons reside? What do you think demons are? Because your website is www.angelsghost.com. So obviously you've written a lot about angels and you believe in angels. What do you believe the demonic is?
Well, I'm going to answer that question through finishing this Lazarus piece. The gulf that's fixed, when we go within us, there is light or darkness. That's the condition of where we're at when we pass. When the rich man looked and found himself basically in darkness, okay, he looked over and he saw Lazarus comforted. That very much sounds like in a near-death experience when people are welcomed by other loved ones on the other side, what happened to the beggar Lazarus. I believe that our state of mind, our condition spiritually, is where we gravitate, okay? And that's what that parable was talking. Now, when you get to demons, again, I'm going to come back to what I believe Jesus was teaching, and that was in parables. I think that demons are thoughts contrary to truth, and I think that those thoughts can be powerful. I think you've seen that. And I think I would not doubt that they could even take on the ability to almost be their own existence if given enough power. Collectively, all of us being in spirit, I think could possibly have the potential to miscreate, not understanding the truth of who we are and what's going on, and miscreate things quite easily.
You see, from a Kabbalistic standpoint, and you know, I was born into a Christian family, and I've studied from both standpoints, but they believe that there's three types of demons, and that one type actually goes back and forth to heaven, which is in the Bible, and that they actually study. And most every religion I can think of has some form of demonology in it. So you do or you do not believe that God created the demonic, the demons, just like he created angels? Do you believe that they're fallen angels, or you simply believe they're a dark thought form?
Well, let's take it another step. The website Angels and Ghosts, the reason it's called Angels and Ghosts is because I don't see a tremendous difference between them. What I mean by that, to me, a ghost is someone that crosses over, that passes, okay, dies, leaves the physical body behind, and has not undergone the tunnel of light and the life review, versus a spirit. Now, they're all spirits, okay? I think the best way I can convey this is that we are all spirits within spirit. But what I would say is a spirit is something that comes from a place of light, and chooses to be around us. We can get into that in a little bit. So when we get back to demons, there's no doubt that darkness exists. Jesus talked about darkness. But he also talked about light and those things being found within us. So I think that darkness are things that we have created and given life to, given power to, is the best way I can explain it in such a short, not very short answer.
You know what I have to say about that? That's an interesting theory. An interesting theory. That means I really don't know what to think. I'm going to think about it, or I don't agree with that. So, I really don't know what to think about that, and so I'm going to have to think about that. But that is a very interesting theory, and you're not the first person I've heard to say that. You poor man, I've kept you talking for almost half an hour, so I'm going to let you catch about a, let me look here, how about a 5-minute break, 6 minutes? We're going to play 2 Christmas songs, so you folks in the chat room enjoy the Christmas music. Elsie, we'll be right back. You're going to hear silence unless you have the show on for about 6 minutes. Get you a drink, okay?
Okay.
les anges de nos campagnes ont entonné l'hymne des cieux. Et l'écho de nos montagnes redit ce chant mélodieux. Gloria, il est Jésus de Quel est l'objet de tous ces chants? Quel vainqueur, quelle conquête mérite ces cœurs triomphants? Gloria, in excelsis Deo. Ils annoncent la naissance du Saint-Rédempteur d'Israël, et plein de reconnaissance chantent dans ce jour solennel. Gloria, in excelsis Deo. Gloria, in excelsis
Deo. And we're back. Are you there, Elsie?
Sure am.
All right. Folks, I'd like to remind everyone that next week on December the 27th in our 8 p.m. hour, we will have Horror Writer on if everything goes as planned. I have got to get with her, Andrea Sokoloff. She will be discussing the connection between horror writers and the paranormal. There's a big connection there. I've had several of them to write me and ask me questions. So I think if you're a paranormal investigator, you will find that to be a fascinating subject. Then on the 9 p.m. hour, I'm so psyched about this, LC. On Wednesday the 27th, in our 9 p.m. hour, we are going to have none other than Dr. Turi of drturi.com. That's www.drturi.com. Dr. Turi did a pay-per-view special last year with George Norrie on predictions. He is known for his accuracy, and we're honored to have him on next week, and he's going to be giving predictions for the year 2007 and beyond. So we're really, really psyched about that. Are you there, Elsie?
I sure am.
And so we're really ecstatic about that. So let's take off where we left off at here. Let me go back to your website. So you've told us your theory on the mnemonic and a little bit on ghost. And so let me ask you this. From what I'm understanding, for those that might have tuned in, because I'm looking at chat and a lot of people are just tuning into the show, mm-hmm. Would you explain to them, with, you know, just 2 or 3 minutes really quickly, what you believe happens when a person passes? What do you believe happens to the soul when a person dies?
Well, I believe it's not much unlike an out-of-body experience I had. But I think that you're disembodied. There's basically a tunnel of light experience and then a life review. In fact, during that tunnel of light, sometimes before, sometimes right after, if you study NDEs, near-death experiences, you're greeted by loved ones, etc., and then a life review takes place. Now, for somebody that's not had a very good life, and I mean one that's a person that's not been so good, that life review can be very traumatic. I think that for somebody that's had a good life, that life review could still be a little bit traumatic. I don't think it's God showing us a video clip on the wall of our life. I think that everything we've done is within us. And we're seeing a simple truth that Jesus said. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. That means the word kingdom, that means everything. So when we're talking hell, we're talking heaven, we're talking the things I've done, it's all within. And I think when we reach that spirit world side, we're able to see what's within us. Probably a very good passage in Acts. Paul stood at Mars Hill, and he proclaimed to Athens. He said, the Lord of heaven and earth dwells not in temples made with hands. He be not far away from every one of us, for in him we live, move, and have our being. That, to me, is a huge passage. And it lines up perfectly with what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is within you. That means that everything that is if it's in the physical, it's in spirit. If it's a plant, it's an animal. The spirit is the life-giving force of all that is. And we're like sparks of energy. We're a piece of that spirit within the spirit. Almost like thoughts in the mind of God. If you look at the spirit that cannot be contained, that's everywhere is God. We're like, thoughts in the mind of God.
Mm-hmm. That's very much the same way the Gnostics believe. I've taken a couple of classes in Gnosticism, and I've read a lot of their work. My book, The Book of Thomas, A Guide to Life in the Afterlife, is often mistaken for one of the books in the Gnostic Gospels, The Book of Thomas. Are you not Gnostic? Are you Gnostic, Elsie?
I can identify with some of the thoughts in the Gnostic texts and things. I just think, it's important to understand when you look at a Bible that was put together by a council. They gathered 66 books and they said, these are going to make the Bible, and these over here we're going to hide. And that's literally what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Books like the Gospel of Thomas, just a myriad of them, were hidden because these books here, they felt would fit what they were trying to teach and propagate.
So, as a pastoral point of view, what do you think about the Bible code then, LC? What do you make of the Bible code?
I'm not sure. It's interesting. It's very interesting. I look at it like this. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, and I believe Paul said this, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. The Spirit contains spirits. And I think around you, I think around me, I think around all of us are spirits.
Mm-hmm.
I think around everyone. And I think that communication from the other side takes place a ton, and we're not aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think
agree.
That there are spirit guides, or the word angels. The word angel just means messenger. Right now, you're speaking to thousands of people that are listening. Let's say you're a messenger.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that word means.
Mm-hmm.
Even Gabriel, his name, the name Gabriel means man of God.
Mm-hmm.
I think in Daniel it says the man Gabriel. So on the other side, I believe, are messengers, angels, spirit guides, loved ones, family, friends that are speaking to us. I don't know if you've ever had a thought drop in your head and you go, where did that come from? I know I wasn't thinking that. Or maybe you'll have the idea to call somebody. I got to call this person.
Mm-hmm.
And you call them. And it's, used for a purpose. I think there's more going on behind the scenes than what we're aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And, getting back to ghosts, I think a great passage on that in the Bible was the Mount of Transfiguration. My personal opinion in Mark 9 is that Jesus took James, Peter, and John up a mountain, and it says they saw him transfigured. Right before their eyes, and they saw Jesus talking to Elijah and Moses. It says they were talking. They were communicating. Now, first thing that this passage proves is that spirits can manifest. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The second thing this passage proves is that Jesus spoke to others on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you were to take your most trusted disciples and take them away from the rest of the group and say, hey, I'm going to show you what's really going on behind the scenes, I think you're going to show them this. And I think that's what it's showing them, that, you know, when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, you know, no one comes to the Father but me, I think he was showing them, right here, here it is. Here's the way, the truth, and the life. That spirit communication, if you listen within that knowing, it's taking place, and follow that within. That's the way, the truth, and the life. You can't come to the Father by any other way than what I am doing, and that's to recognize spirit and communicate with it.
And I firmly believe that. I believe we have guides, not just one, but I believe we have multiple guides. And I believe that they speak to us in every day through environmental influences, you know, throwing books our way, websites our way, people in our paths, things like that. That instant knowing that you were speaking of, all those sort of things. Something I'm going through your website, and I've read a lot of it, even, you know, before the show, because I've visited your website, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere on here I read that you believe that angels are people who ascend to angelness or some form of that. I'm wording it wrongly. Is that not correct?
I think, and this is going to ruffle a lot of people's feathers.
I knew. That's why I had to ask. Here we go. The opinions of our guests may or may not necessarily be the opinions of Gabrielle Easter Paranormal. Please send all hate mail to Darla, D-A-R-L-A, Darla, at easternparanormal.com. That's Darla at easternparanormal.com. Go ahead, LC.
Okay. What I think happens when a person dies, I think that, and I diagrammed kind of my vision on it as a spring going upwards, showing different planes or levels of, call them heavens. Okay, I don't think heaven is like one room here that everybody tries to get into. I think that the spirit realm is an ever-growing, ever-learning experience. It's not a boring thing where we're sitting on a cloud with a harp. In contrast to that, I think there are a couple hells. And again, I'm going to take that back, that kingdom of God being within. You know, when a person gravitates to those hells, they're in a state of darkness. The things that they've done, darkness to me is not something to be afraid of. It just means ignorance or lack of understanding. That doesn't mean that, you know, people don't do wrong things, because, you know, out of ignorance and lack of understanding, you misthink, you miscreate, you do things that are not good. I think that under that life review, if you've done enough, you will gravitate downward or descend and will be in a state of condemnation, self-guilt, fear, these types of things. This is the punishment, the darkness, the weeping, the gnashing of teeth that Jesus talked about. But just like he came and he saved those that were punished by the flood, we're told, I believe that there are times when messengers or spirit can make contact with someone in that state and help them ascend out of it. Just like Jacob's ladder, there's ascending and descending on that ladder of the angels. Angels are messengers. So what I'm saying, bringing this back, is that I believe angels, the angels that fell are us. I know that's whacked, but I really believe that we do not understand who we really are.
Well, you know, that's not the first time I've heard that. There was a man that used to channel here, and I can't remember. He channeled somebody called Patrick, and his name was Don or Donald. And I won't give his last name. I'm pretty sure he's deceased now because he was as old as dirt back then, like 20 years ago. But he believed that, and it was the first time I'd ever heard that theory. And he had a name for those people, and I forget what he called them, but he told me that I was one of those people, and he told me why, give me the definition for him and what to look for, and I just kind of thought he was giving me a line of BS. And I'll be honest with you, because I'd never heard of it before, and the Bible tells us that they were created separate, and again, most of your religions, they tell us that the angels are created separate, even the religions that have their own angels and whatnot. But it is an interesting theory, and you're not the only person. I have heard that before.
I don't have a lock on it, huh?
Uh-huh. No.
There's with Bible translation, you have this translation and that translation, and then you have translations translated off of those translations, and digging down and getting an understanding, a grasp of who it was written to, what was the subject, what was the correct interpretation, because, again, we as people will have an idea of what it's saying, and we may interpret it when we're writing it down, this version, the NIV or the King James or whatever, based upon what we believe it to be saying. That doesn't necessarily mean it's correct. So, taking a look at angels in the Bible, look at Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah, two angels it says were sent, and they went into Lot's house, and the guys came up, the town came up and saw him and said to Lot, where are the men that came unto you this night? They always seem to be called men. The name means man. That there is very interesting. Now, the other word in the Bible used for God, used for angels, and this is in the Old Testament, by the way, it's translated God, gods, angel, and Lord, in the Old Testament, is the word Elohim. And what that word really means is the plural gods.
Yeah, that's what he called me. It was an Elohim or something like that. That's exactly what he called me, but go ahead.
Well, Elohim, God, is the same word that was used when they came after Jesus, and he quoted the passage out of the Old Testament. Says, "Don't you know that you are God?" And Jesus said to him that God said that, and it's written in the scriptures, and it can't be broken.
Mm-hmm.
And he answered up with this. This is what's important to get out of all this. Believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And this brings us all back that all of us in spirit and the spirit's in us. We're all in spirit and the spirit's in us. And that's what he's saying. It's all connected. All of us are one. And we all make up that big piece of God.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting theory.
It's another one of those interesting ones.
Well, and what's interesting about theories and so forth is that as you age and you grow older, I think you see that things aren't quite black and white, and we have to see the shades of gray.
Yeah.
A lot of my belief system has changed in the last 10 years.
Isn't it amazing? It gets flipped upside down, your life gets turned over, and
mm-hmm.
you go, what the heck?
And so you wonder how it'll be, in another 10 years. But, I've grown by leaps and bounds, and I'm sure that you have too. And I consider myself an esoteric Christian. I consider myself more of a spiritual person than a religious person. I pray and meditate daily throughout the day. And, I feel that God walks with us. He's mm-hmm. within us all. I've said it before on the show, he's in the rain, I hear him in the wind, I feel him, here and there, everywhere. I mean, he's about us each and every day, and it really is about a faith issue. So, your site is very famous for its ghost pictures. It has one of the best ghost picture websites I've ever seen. It is one of the best. So give people your email if they want to send their ghost pictures to you.
Or if you want to send hate mail.
Yeah, send your hate mail to LC to what address?
it's LC Dupla, LCDUPLA at yahoo.com is the website or the email address that I use to receive submissions. LCDUPLA, LC Dupla at yahoo.com. You know, we receive pictures, stories, videos, EVP from all over the world, and it's quite a process each month to post them all. But again, the idea is to allow the visitor, the viewer, to make up their mind as to whether or not it is evidence, if it's paranormal. And, you know, we throw in some of our remarks and thoughts about it, but I want it to be free. You know, I really want it to be a free site that everybody can just come and have fun and try to figure this big puzzle out like you and I are trying to do.
Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful site. And his website, again, is www.angels.com. That's www.angelsghost.com. And it's a wonderful site. He has so much here. So let me ask you, just point blank, especially because I see we've got a lot of people tuning in late. Mm-hmm. Exactly what do you think? You have all these ghost pictures on your website. I don't know how many you have. How many do you have? Do you know?
I haven't a clue. I know the website's in totals up between 1,900 and 2,000 pages.
Wow, so you have thousands of ghost pictures.
And we're looking at approximately 55 to 60,000 page views a day right now.
Wow, that's unbelievable. So when you get the pictures of ghosts, for those of you that are just turning it in, the show, tuning in to us, what do you believe the people are capturing? When I capture all of my ghost pictures at www.easternparanormal.com, click on the photo button. What do you think I'm capturing, LC?
Well, again, because our subject is ghosts in the Bible, I'm going to kind of put that spin on it. Jesus talked about light and dark. He talked about not hiding your light. And I think within us, when we follow Spirit, which is truth, I think that there is a light that those on the other side can gravitate to. I think it tells them that they can communicate. I think it tells them that there's a mind that's not trapped, that's not bound. In contrast, there's darkness. And like your website says, and I agree totally, you know, that darkness is not going to prevail. Light always dispels darkness, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Darkness just ceases to exist when light is shown on it. It's a very simple concept. When we see ghost pictures, we're seeing orbs, which I would say would be something of light. We're seeing white ectoplasm, which could be of something of light as well. But in contrast, we're also seeing shadow ghosts and things. And, I mean, some shadow ghosts, I know Dr. Dave Oster of GhostWeb says, you know, he knows they were kids. Now, again, I don't think darkness is bad, necessarily. I think darkness could be just ignorance or lack of understanding, just not knowing who you are or where you're at, per se, or what's going on, until a person is enlightened. So I don't think it's an eternal state. And I think we're seeing some of that in the pictures.
Even just the first step to taking form, I've wondered in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
Well, I think that, you know, spirit, if we can feel it tangibly, and I know that we can at times, I've felt, and I know you have, I'm sure, then I think we might be capturing something in these cameras, looking at some of the ranges of them, what spectrums they can see into that are beyond the visible spectrum, and, you know, probably towards the infrared, are capturing pieces and parts of this. Maybe it's, you know, again, I think a shadow ghost. I think the light in the dark is indicative of the condition of the person. I really do. I think that maybe some of these are the enlightened ones. We've had some, and I don't know if you've seen any of these. We've had some where I don't know what to call it. I call it lightning. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about just a squiggly line. I'm talking about actual lightning-looking stuff going on inside of a hotel room.
Yeah, I've captured a few of those. Before we close up here tonight, Elsie, because this radio show is hosted by hauntedvoicesradio.com, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Let's discuss EVPs briefly. Since we're discussing ghosts in the Bible and ghosts in period, because that's your website, angelsghost.com,
mm-hmm.
What do you think EVPs are, briefly?
I believe that they're communication from the other side, because I think that you're going to find that most of them that are being picked up right now are going to be, and some people may disagree with me, but there's been indications, and I don't know what Todd's research is on this, so I'm sticking my neck out, that the 20 to 40 hertz range, there's been an awful lot captured there, with which I believe is below our speaking, our voice range. In fact, I think under 300 might be below our voice range. Anyhow, I think that what we're capturing are spirit voices from the other side. Now, they obviously don't have a voice box, but I think that these things would have to somehow be mentally produced. It's almost like capturing a thought or thoughts or a sentence. And I think right now we're just able to capture the upper part of the wave. I think with the technology we have, we're only capturing the upper part after it's been duplicated or doubled or quadrupled. So that's why we're getting pieces and parts, fragments of sentences at times, and maybe not being able to pick up the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's my theory.
Mm-hmm. And have you gotten many EVPs yourself?
With everything that I've been doing, it's not been something that I've been able to devote a lot of time to out in the field. Now, this year, we're going to do some field work. We have some ideas, a couple associates and myself, where we're going to invest some money in some new technologies and test out some theories that we have. So this year, 2007, I want to go on record as saying is I hope to get out there on some radio shows. Thank you very much, Gabrielle.
You're
for
welcome.
Starting that. I want to get out in the field, and I want to do some speaking, and I want to bring some new evidence to the table.
All right. Well, Dennis, I think he's listening. He's in chat there. He's got a radio show getting ready to gear up. Perhaps he'll have you on his show. There's a lot of great shows out there, and I'll be happy to recommend you to anybody. I think you've been a fascinating guest, and I want to thank you for coming on. It's a fascinating subject. And everybody, I want you to go check out his website. He has so much there. I mean, I just couldn't even cover it in one show, not even two or three. It's www.angelsghosts.com. That's www.angelsghosts.com. He has everything you would ever want to see here on here. I cannot imagine how many hours you have devoted to this. It's unbelievable. And I cannot imagine having that many thousands of pages. That's just phenomenal. And everybody, I would like for you to remember to tune in next week on December the 27th, Wednesday, in our 8 p.m. hour. We will be having on writer Andrea Sokoloff discussing the connection with us between horror writers and the paranormal. Then on the 27th, in our 9 p.m. hour, we are going to be having the one and the only Dr. Lewis Turi of drturi.com. That's www.drturi.com. Dr. Turi did a pay-per-view special last year with George Norrie and did predictions. He is known for his accuracy, and we are honored to have him on A Glimpse Through the Veil next week. He will be doing predictions for 2007 and beyond. So I want everybody to check out his website and tune in for that. Hopefully next week we will also have our own chat room, so we're excited about that. Thank you once again, LC, for hanging out with us tonight and answering all my strange questions.
Thanks for having me, putting up with me.
On Ghosts in the Bible, and I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as I did. Have a Merry Christmas, Elsie.
Thank you.
To you too,
and everybody out there.
And I think I'm going to play a little bit of Christmas music for you folks that are staying and listening tonight. So hang in there. I'll get in chat in a few minutes while I'm loading up the archives. Thank you once again, Elsie, for being our guest.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
They told